Let's pray and get ready to receive the word this morning. Father, we just turn our attention to you now and to your word. And I ask you, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive. I pray, Father, for humble hearts, for meek hearts that are teachable. I ask you, Lord, that I myself might be ready to receive and ready to give out exactly what you'd have me to say, Lord. I pray, Father, for clarity of heart and mind to speak your word boldly. And I pray, Father, that faith would rise in the hearts of your people to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our series titled Samaritans. Kind of a strange title for a series, and that's why we've subtitled it. It is God's love for the lost, the hurting, and the outcast. I want you to know that God loves you. No matter who you are, what your background is, who your family is, what your past is like, whatever has happened to you in your life, God loves you. Last week we talked about that message in particular, that He loves us. Now, the Samaritans in Jesus' day, they were a despised people. They at one time had been part of the nation of Israel, but they became very wicked, very immoral, and they were overtaken by other people. They intermarried with people of other faiths, and their religion became polluted. They worshiped idols and false gods. And so in Jesus' day, to the Jews, these Samaritans were basically the equivalent of a dog. They despised them. You talk about prejudice. This was extreme prejudice. They couldn't stand these people because they had perverted and polluted their religion. Last week, we talked about how that the Lord loves us no matter what our past is like, no matter who we are. Doesn't matter how gifted we are, how smart we are, how good we are. Listen, even how spiritual we are, He loves all of us. I want you to know this morning, because He loves you, He heals you. He loves you, and He will heal you. It's not a matter of how deserving you are. It's not a matter of how good you've been or even how spiritual you are. See, some of you, I know I'm already messing with your theology there. When I say that, some of you are like, what? Listen, whether or not God will heal you is not a matter of how spiritual you are. You look at the people that Jesus healed in the Bible. He wasn't just going around healing the religious, the spiritual. Oh, He healed everyone who believed. One of the greatest human needs is for healing. Now, if you have a serious illness or a loved one has a serious illness, you'll do almost anything for them to be made well. It's almost turned to a matter of extortion in our society where, you know, the medical community knows. I mean, they'll charge you $10,000 for a one shot of chemotherapy. You do anything if it means the life, the health of you or your loved one. And as Jesus walked this earth, this was one of the human needs that everywhere He went, He ministered to people healing. Everywhere He went, He healed people. It was such a desperate human need. The same thing is true today in our country. In spite of all of the medicines, all of the medical treatments, all the advancements, one of the greatest human needs today is for health, for healing. I'm telling you, church, we have a message for the world that our God heals. This world still needs, they're still desperate for that healing. So many suffer with illness for years and years. So many live with pain, with discomfort, with some kind of limitations. And I'm telling you, Jesus came to heal the sick, to heal our physical bodies. But He also came to heal our broken hearts. I want to read to you again from Luke 4:18. when Jesus started his ministry. He read from the book of Isaiah, and this is part of what he read. Luke 4:18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind." You see, he came for this reason. He was anointed to do this, to bring healing, to set people free, make people whole. Now, whenever we talk about healing, I know that there are a lot of questions that arise in people's minds, and I know there's some questions that we're not going to know the answers to until this life is over. But I do want to say a couple of things to you. I think these things are important. You need to know this, that sickness and disease came into this world as the result of the fall of man. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there's been sickness and disease in this world. Sometimes our own sin, listen, our own foolishness brings sickness on ourselves. And certainly we know that when we mistreat our bodies and we do stupid things, we can bring sickness on ourselves. Sometimes sickness is just an attack of Satan. Many of the people that Jesus healed, he would speak of a spirit of infirmity. You see, there are times when it is just nothing more than a spiritual attack of Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that's one of the works of the devil Jesus came to destroy, was sickness and disease. And so he went around healing people. But there are also, listen, sometimes people get sick. It is just because we live in a fallen world where sin has corrupted this world. This creation is still corrupt. And so oftentimes we deal with sickness and disease. But hear me right now. We have a healer. We have a God who loves us. A God who heals us. He declares in Exodus 15:26, "I am the Lord who heals you." You won't find anywhere in the Bible where he says, "I am the Lord who makes you sick." But he declares, "I am the Lord who heals you." The Hebrew says, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." Listen, every person in this building right now, if you're sick in your body or there's some kind of illness, disease, or problem, listen, you need to hear this word from the Lord. You need to hear it as though he is speaking to you. "I am the Lord who heals you." What a word that God gives to us there. It's Exodus 15:26. Now, there are two strong deceptions, or at least misconceptions, that I want to address this morning about receiving healing. The first misconception is that God only wants some people to be healed, and some people, he wants them to be sick. What a trick, what a lie from Satan to get people to stay sick. Because isn't it funny how easily we fall into that second category? Let me just expose how ridiculous that is. If it's God's will for you to be sick, then don't pray to be healed. It's a terrible thing to pray against the will of God. If God wants you to be sick, don't ask Him to heal you. You can't change God's will by praying. No, what we do when we pray is that we bring the perfect will of God in heaven down on earth. Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray this way: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, when we pray for healing, we're praying for the will of God to be done. It's not His will for people to be sick. It's His will for people to be healed. Listen, if you believe that God wants you to be sick, that this is just part of His will, then don't take medicine and go to doctors because you're going against the will of God. Now, that being said, I want to say this very clearly. We believe in healing. And we believe that God uses medicines and doctors many times. So we're not against those things. What I'm saying is, if you don't believe that God wants you healed, then don't pray and don't pursue being healed. You see how ridiculous it is to take on that mentality that, well, God only wants to heal some people? and some people He doesn't. You say, well, Pastor, then what is the problem? The problem is that so often we don't believe that God wants to heal me. It's only for certain ones. We're going to see this morning that God heals even Samaritans. Some of you, I was talking about how bad a Samaritan is. You're thinking, well, gee, I'm not that bad. God heals the least and the worst when they believe. Matthew 14:14. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them, and He healed their sick. You see, Jesus loves people. He cares about people, and that's why He heals people. He still does. He still loves people. He still cares about people. Listen, He's still moved with compassion when He sees people who are sick, people who are hurting. Does it touch you? I have to tell you that it touches me. When I see people hurting and I know that they're struggling, it bothers me. It moves me. And I'm telling you, we serve a God who loves us so much more than we can even imagine. He's still moved with compassion when people are hurting. He has not changed. Matthew 15:30-31, then great multitudes came to Him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and He healed them. So the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 19:2, great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there. Matthew 21:14, then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. Over and over and over, you see Jesus healing people. It was part of His ministry to people. Church, we're the body of Christ. It's part of our ministry. In that great commission that Jonathan read when he was talking about water baptism in the Gospel of Mark, he says it's part of that commission that believers lay hands on the sick and they recover. Now, some people will say, oh, but that ended with the apostles. That's crazy. It didn't start with the apostles. God has always healed people in the Old Testament for thousands of years. He healed people. Why would it stop with the apostles? By the way, if you look at church history, it didn't stop with the apostles. It's always happened down through church history. John Wesley recorded over 240 miraculous healings that took place in his ministry. It's always happened. But somehow or another, religion always tries to undermine people's faith when it comes to the miraculous. Even in Jesus' day, it was the same way. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father is like? Look at me. He said, I and the Father are one. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Our Father wants to heal people. He has not changed. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still our healer. Listen to what David says about the Lord in Psalms 103. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. You see, the same God who forgives your sins forgives all your iniquities. See, most believers understand that. That's how we're saved. That's how we're born again. That we believe that Jesus paid the price so that we could be forgiven. But David proclaims in the same verse that the God who forgives all your iniquities heals all your diseases. Listen, the second part is just as true as the first part. We need to understand that healing is just as much a part of our redemption and our salvation. If you were a better person, if you were more spiritual, then God would heal you. There's the second deception. The first one is that God only wants to heal certain ones. Others, it's not for them. The second deception is that, well, if you were more spiritual, if you were a better person, if you were a good person, then God would heal you. That's why we get upset a lot of the time when someone that we know is a really good person and they get real sick or maybe somebody even dies and we say, oh, but they were a good person. Why does something like this happen to such a good person? Listen, receiving healing isn't a matter of whether or not you're a good person. That is a religious mentality. That if I was just religious enough, if I'm just good enough, if I'm just righteous enough, if I'm just spiritual enough, then God will heal me. Let me tell you plainly, that leaves all of us out in the cold. If healing is dependent upon our goodness, it leaves us all out. Because the Bible tells us in Romans 3:10 that there is none who are righteous. No, not one. In our own selves, none of us is righteous. None of us deserves the healing or the blessings of God in our life. He goes on in verse 12, Romans 3:12. He says, there is none that does good. You say, oh, well, I've done some good. But he's talking about by the holy righteous standards of a holy God, none of us has done all good. None of us deserves it. Romans 3:23, he summarizes it. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here's my point to you, that none of us deserves healing, but because he has forgiven us, we can receive healing. How do we receive righteousness? The same way Abraham did, by faith. Romans 4:3-5 says, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. In other words, we receive righteousness from God. It's by grace, and we just receive it by faith. We don't work to earn it. If you earn something from God, that's not grace. It's a debt that God owed you. And I can assure you, God does not owe any of us anything. You can't work and earn something from God and deserve it. No, it is a blessing that we receive by grace. Let's read verse 5. He says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Do you believe that God justifies the ungodly? Three of you. Listen, that may violate our sense of justice, but God justifies the ungodly because they believe in Him. By their faith, they are made righteous. That word justified means that they are looked at as though they had never sinned. It is though they have always done everything right. It is as though they are righteous before a holy God. Listen. When you are righteous before holy God, if you had never ever messed up, you could believe for healing. I'm telling you, the accuser of the brethren uses that guilt, that shame. He tries to keep you from really believing that God would heal you. We're going to read about a Samaritan who was healed, Luke chapter 17. There are actually 10 men who were lepers that Jesus healed. But one of them was a Samaritan. We're going to read from verse 11. We'll start there. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. I pointed this out last week, but so many of the Jews would go around Samaria. They didn't even want to set foot on that Samaritan soil. But Jesus did not avoid Samaria. He wanted to reach those people. He loved those people. Verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. As they went their way, they were healed of their leprosy. they were cleansed. And by the way, Jesus gave them a simple act of faith. Go show yourselves to the priest. They weren't earning it. It wasn't by some work they were going to deserve it. But it was a simple act of faith, that it was an action that expressed their faith, that as they went, they were cleansed. By the way, the word cleansed means made clean. You might have noticed there in those verses, it said that they stood afar off. That's because those who had leprosy were considered to be unclean. They had to keep their distance from everybody else. They couldn't get up close to anybody or touch anybody. They were unclean. But as they went their way, they were cleansed from their leprosy. Verse 15 says, "And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." He was a Samaritan. He wasn't one of the chosen. He wasn't from the right family. He wasn't a spiritual leader. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, the Bible tells us very plainly that one of them was a Samaritan, and Jesus referred to him as a foreigner. And I think it strongly implies that the others were probably Jews. And we talked about this, how the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. They don't associate with them. They don't hang out with them. And here you have 10 lepers, and there's a mix of Samaritans, and, or at least one Samaritan, and these Jews. But you see, leprosy was an equalizer. It didn't matter if they had been rich. It didn't matter if they were educated. It didn't matter if they were leaders in the temple. None of that mattered. Once they had leprosy, they were all the same. They were all lepers. They couldn't associate with their family anymore. They couldn't go to worship in the temple. They couldn't work at their jobs anymore. They weren't allowed to be around people except other lepers. We all have a disease. Everybody born in the human race has a disease called sin. It is an equalizer. It is the common denominator of all of us. We might think that some are better than others or some are worse sinners than others, but we're all born sinners. And just as Jesus cleansed all 10 lepers, regardless of their background. Isn't it funny? Jesus didn't go through, "Okay, you 6, y'all pass, but you 4, I'm not going to heal y'all." See, nowhere in the Bible do you find this theology that Jesus only heals this one, but not you. No, he healed all who believe. But the same Jesus who cleansed all 10 lepers cleanses all of us. When we put our faith and trust in him, he cleanses us from our sin. I want you to understand why this is so important. You see, once you realize that he has taken your sin out of the way, then you can believe to receive healing. As long as that cloud of guilt is over you, as long as you think somehow that God wouldn't do it for you, it will always undermine you, undermine your faith, and keep you from being able to believe. It's not just for certain people. He didn't suffer just for a chosen few. Healing is for every one of us. I want to give you a verse from 3 different translations because I just want you to get it, all right? Romans 2:11, the New King James says, "There is no partiality with God." The NIV says, "God does not show favoritism." The King James says, "There is no respect of persons with God." God does not pick out certain ones and say, "Well, you I like, but you not so much." I'm telling you that this grace is available to all of us. That his healing is available to all of us. It doesn't matter what your background, how good you've been, how spiritual you are. Listen, a lot of the time, those who have been in church a long time have a harder time receiving healing than people who are hearing the gospel for the first time. And it, so much of it is because of religious unbelief. When what's required is simple faith. Our faith is not based on our goodness. It is based on His goodness. We believe the Lord heals us, not because we deserve it or because we're spiritual, but simply because He is that good, that He loves us and He declares that He is our healer, and we believe. In the ministry of Jesus, you will never find one person who was turned away because they were a sinner. You will find one man, they brought him to be healed, and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven you." And then He said, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And I'll just simply say this, if you know that there's sin in your life, confess it to God. I mean, if you know there's something in your life that's keeping you from being able to receive from God, confess it to Him. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, there's that cleansing. And then, listen, what's to stop you from receiving that healing that you need? There was never one person that He said, "Well, if you were just a little more religious, if you were just a little more spiritual, if you would just try a little harder." Some of you ought to get freed over this, because I know some of you, you want to be healed, or you're praying about something and you're just trying so hard. You're trying. Well, you'll just try. See, this is religion. Well, if you'll just try a little harder. That's not how you receive from God. You put your faith in His goodness instead of your goodness. You just believe that He wants to do that for you. Listen, you never find where He said, if you were just a little more spiritual. You will find where one time with a ruler of the synagogue, his daughter died. You know what Jesus said to him? He didn't say, "Well, if you were a little more spiritual." No, He said, "Only believe. Only believe. Just believe. That's it. Just believe." Can it really be that simple? It is simple faith. Only believe. Healing is not complicated. It's when we start making it complicated, we start making it hard for people to believe. It is simple. Simple faith. Sometimes it takes a lot for us to unwrap all of the religious unbelief and get people to a place where they can just simply believe. But if we just simply believe, it's for us. It comes down to this. He loves us. He wants to heal us. We just have to believe. No matter who you are, what your past is, what mistakes you've made, He heals you. Whether you're dealing with a physical problem, and I know in our society today there are many people that are suffering with a broken heart. Life happens, and most of us have been through some emotional things, some things that have hurt us deeply. Maybe you feel scarred. Maybe you're going through a depression in your life. I want you to know that Jesus also came to heal that. Now, there was something else that happened to the leper who returned. He came back and he fell at Jesus' feet and he gave glory to God. And the New King James Version says that he was made well. And the King James says he was made whole. I really believe that there's something additional that happened to this one, this Samaritan leper who returned and gave thanks to God. Because in the first part, when it says, as they went their way, they were cleansed of their leprosy. This word where it's translated made whole or made well is a totally different word. It means restored. Many times when lepers were disfigured, the leprosy ate away their flesh. They would lose ears or fingers or toes. But I believe this leper was made whole. He was restored. And here he was, a Samaritan. Isn't it amazing how that many times it is the one who deserves it the least, they'll be the one to give the glory to God. As Jesus said, the one who's forgiven much loves much. And I'm telling you, when you realize that it is all just because of His goodness and not because you deserve it or you earned it in any way, then you give God the glory. I want to share one more story with you from the Bible, Mark chapter 5. Many of you know this story well, but it's Mark chapter 5, 25 through 34. We call it the woman with the issue of blood. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. She spent all her money on doctors, and she just got worse. It sounds like the story you hear a lot of times today. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment, for she said, "If only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus immediately, knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But the disciples said to Him, "You see the multitude thronging you. Everybody's touching you. And you say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. I tell you, this is absolutely amazing. This woman, Jesus didn't call her out, "Hey, come down here, I'm going to heal you." She didn't say, Lord, please lay Your hands on me and heal me. Lord, pray for me. No, listen, she saw Him, heard about Him, and she just decided. She said, "If I can just touch His clothes, I know I'll be healed." Now think about this. Jesus didn't turn around and lay hands on her. He didn't say, "Okay, I'm going to heal." She just decided by faith, you see, that if she could just touch His clothes, she said, "I know I'll be healed." We don't know anything about this woman's background, her pedigree. We don't know anything about the life that she's lived. We don't even know how did she get this illness. You know, obviously the doctors of that time didn't know. She had a flow of blood for 12 years. She may have even had some kind of sexually transmitted disease. We don't know. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. You see, religious and judgmental people would say, "Oh, well, if that was the case, she deserved it." Jesus didn't judge people like that. He healed them all. He didn't say, "Well, now how did you get this?" We all see people abusing their bodies and doing dumb things. And if you are, quit doing that. But I want to tell you something. We have a God who loves us. And He doesn't judge us, and He doesn't line you up and say, "Okay, well, let's see how you're doing, what you're doing." No, He just heals us when we believe. And this is so amazing because this woman touches His clothes and power goes out from Him, and He says, "Who touched me?" And then the Bible says that she was afraid and trembled. It's like she took something that she didn't deserve. Exactly. By faith, she had received something that she didn't earn, she didn't deserve. That power, healing power, had gone out from Him just because she believed. But listen to the words of Jesus. Verse 34. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." It was her faith. Wasn't her background, her theology, what church she went to, wasn't her family. None of those things mattered. It was just simple faith. "Your faith has made you well." If you need healing today, I just encourage you, put your faith in the goodness of God, that He loves you that much. He loves you that much, no matter who you are, what your background is, what mistakes you've made. I'm telling you, He loves you that much. I remember when Carmen was diagnosed with cancer and had such a fight of faith. I'm telling you, just a daily walk of faith, a fight of faith. But I believe that one of the greatest turning points in that fight of faith was when she had a fresh revelation that her father loved her. And I remember her saying to me, I'm sorry, I don't usually do that. But she said to me, my father loves me. My father loves me. And it was just like a release. She knew that if my father loves me, I'm going to be okay. And I'm telling you this morning, your father loves you. He can heal you. It's not hard for him. Listen, a lot of people believe in the power of God to heal. I'm telling you, believe in the goodness of God, the love of God to heal. He not only is able, but he wants to do that in your life. You just have to believe that you receive. Amen. I want you to stand with me. And as we're standing here in the presence of the Lord, I want you to just focus on the Lord Jesus. Focus on the one who said, I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that faith rise in the hearts of your people. I pray, Father, that there be some standing here now, Lord, who realize that the same Jesus that passed by that woman with the issue of blood is here this morning, that they can reach out by faith and take hold of that garment and receive healing this day, this very hour. Father, I just thank you that you are our healer. And Lord, in the times when all of the situations and circumstances and all the adversity tell us otherwise, Lord, may our faith be strong in you to declare, you're my healer. You're my healer. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. I thank you for it, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus told the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And sometimes there needs to be a simple act of faith, an expression of our faith. And I want to tell you, for some of you, that's going to be this morning to just come down here to the front. I want to encourage you, if you're believing God for a healing in your body, whatever it might be, if you want to believe the Lord for a healing, for a miracle today, I want to encourage you to just step out from where you are and come down here. But come in faith. As you come, you're saying, Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe. Some of you are going to receive it right here this morning. Some of you, you may not see it manifest yet, but you believe you receive, and as you go your way, even as it was for those lepers, it'll be for you, that God will do a miracle in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, if you're ready to receive, if you want to receive a healing this morning, you're believing for that, just go ahead and come down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.